Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's time once again to talk a little bit of golf as we do each and every Monday with our friend Cuts Benedict. And Cuts, I don't know, I guess I feel sort of guilty that it's like golf now, it seems to me like it's more about like who doesn't win the tournament as much as who wins the tournament. And yeah. I feel that way after Bay Hill, that we've got another Sunday of real nothing from Rory McIlroy. Yeah, he finished in the top 10 again, which he's done all five times he's teed it up this year, but it's now been exactly 1 year since he's won a tournament.
Yeah, you couldn't feel more exactly like you have if I tried. I mean, I sat there yesterday and I was like, and I have nothing against Francesco Molinari, and you know, he's a great player, obviously, British Open, et cetera, but oh, I was like, come on, something happened.
Get out
here.
Of the way.
And, yeah, yeah. Who decided it was okay for you to shoot 64, 8 under, which is a ridiculously good round of golf on a very hard golf course.
For the guy who's the reigning Open champ, too, by the way.
Yeah, no, that's lights out. I mean, the guy is, look, he's improved. He's the real deal. He's much better than he was, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. And he's going to be somebody that's a factor, I think, you know, in some majors over the next few years. But nonetheless, yeah, Rory's tied for sixth finish was another solid week. Could have easily won. You know, he had irons. I mean, he had a wedge to one par five in two yesterday. But he had I saw a stat on the Twitter feed this morning, and he literally had middle irons to a pitching wedge into the four par fives yesterday and didn't score well. I think he made one birdie is what somebody was telling me. Anyway, nonetheless, you know, he's knocking on the door, and you know, I guess just from an odds standpoint, I kind of like the fact it's like keep him hungry, don't let him win yet, because you know that Masters is way more important than Bay Hill, and so I'm okay with him, you know, not winning. I think it'll keep him focused, and you know, he knows he's there. It's like he's still confident, but it keeps him hungry, keeps him focused, and I like what it dictates.
Boy, and it was great to see so many Georgia guys in the mix. And how about Keith Mitchell's round yesterday? So he plays himself into the Open Championship, and we about how life-changing it was for him to get that win at the Honda, now a top five. And then when you get to that place then, when you're in the majors, you're in the Masters, and you get in those WGC events which don't have cuts, so you're right, amassing the money and the points. That is just a huge step for him to follow up his first win with a performance like that. I can tell you this, where my dream come true of being a pro golfer, after I won my first tournament, I'd have probably been sitting in a tavern for about the next 4 days and just waiting. You know, when we interviewed Keith last Tuesday, you know, he said, when do you get paid? And he said, today. So, you know, when your bank account all of a sudden like triples there, oh my gosh.
I wouldn't have made my tea time Thursday.
I don't think so. Me neither.
It really does speak to the effect, though, of, okay, think he grew in confidence and in belief in himself. I mean, he already knew he was a really good player and could do some great things as a tour player. But to win last week and then to come out yesterday, and, you know, you can kind of, you know, he's far enough back to where you can just kind of mail it in, play decent, you know, and sort of shoot around par and, you know, kind of get yourself together on to the Players' Championship this week. But he played, you know, he shot 66, which I'm telling you, that golf course played very difficult.
Yep.
And there was some rough. A lot of difficult pins. There's water all over the place, as we all saw. But so it's just, you know, that's Keith Mitchell has taken the next step for sure, not just with that win, but now he is he's a force now. He's going to compete, and that round of yesterday, said to me as much as the win the week before, JD. That's what I'm saying. And maybe people might say, well, that's a little crazy. But I'm telling you, he's going to be there. I think I'm not saying he's going to win some majors anytime soon, but I think you're going to see him compete at a different level going forward, which is not always the case after a win.
Yep. Yeah, who wins a major first/next? Bubba Watson again or any other of the former Georgia golfers out there?
What about Kiz has been knocking on the door. Yeah. Kisner has been. Yeah.
Yeah, he sure has. And you know, I think the golf course, I think it was Quail Hollow, you know, where he lost the PGA to Justin Thomas there, and that golf course didn't really set up well for him. Really, really long golf course. And I mean, Kiz isn't a short hitter, but by tour standards, he's probably average. Mm-hmm. To answer the question, I would say I'll take the rest of the Bulldogs. I'm not sure Bubba's done, but I think other than the Masters, I don't see it happening. Although, you know, Bubba, I mean, he's that guy, isn't he? Start to halfway count him out, he starts to feel it, and his game, he's the ultimate feel player because there are no mechanics. I mean, if he starts hitting it poorly, what does he think about? Where his backswing's going? And no, he just kind of starts to see shots and feel shots and tries to find it with a little work on the range. And so, I don't know, I'll take the Bulldog field against Bubba.
And guys, you know what's so funny too? This year with the majors, I mean, we've seen how cold and snowy it's been in New York. I mean, the PGA's at Bethpage Black in May, so who knows? I mean, who knows what the weather's going to be? And then for the first time, and obviously these guys will play practice rounds, and for the first time since the 50s, the Open is going to be in Ireland. So you're going to have a couple of just really completely new looks. And then, oh, yeah, Augusta National and Pebble Beach. Yeah. So.
Yeah, no, great. The majors set up great, and I think it'll be fun to see the Open in Ireland. And then, you know, Bethpage, obviously fantastic venue, but you're right. I mean, it has snowed in that part of the country the second week in May.
Sure,
I can tell you because I lived it. I'm not guessing this. I experienced it firsthand, unfortunately, but fortunately I escaped. I don't know, that PGA deal up north in May. You'd hope. I mean, are the golf courses going to be greened up? I mean, are we going to be playing on fully greened up fairways? I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'm sure they'll fertilize everything to death.
Well, speaking of new/different golf courses, how different are they going to find Sawgrass this week in March,
as opposed to
playing it in May?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Great question. I just happened to look at the forecast, and I think it's going to be the Weather Channel pick of the deal. I mean, so Thursday and Friday, the wind is going to blow out of the south, more south or southeast, whatever. So that's going to be warmer temperatures. And hole number 17 shoots straight north, basically straight north. So that hole's going to be playing maybe a little downwind, a little crosswind maybe. So 17 is not going to be much of an issue. And then, of course, 18 is the same direction. But on Saturday, a front moves through. And so Saturday and Sunday is going to be that 10 to 20 mile an hour north wind.
Oh, yeah.
And so 17 and 18 are going to be very interesting. Now, of course, the forecast can change a little bit, but that's probably pretty, you know, when they start predicting those fronts at this stage, they're usually pretty accurate. So that in of itself is going to make the tournament a little bit different than that May date. Because that May date, I mean, it's you know, Jacksonville's in the 80s in early mid-May. And so, you know, I think just the weather itself is going to make for a more interesting event. But the scores, there's been low scores. I look back, there's been some low scores in March, lower than I would have ever thought. So, I mean, these guys are just good. You just can't keep them. You can't keep them from shooting 10 or 15 under par in 72 holes almost no matter what. But
is the turn. It's impossible to pick a winner for this. I mean,
it's
impossible. And by the way, I'm just looking here. Thursday, 74-61. Friday, 78-58. So that's one of those two. If you get the morning tea time, but then the high on Saturday is only 62. So it's going to be 65 on Sunday. So to your point, that's a pretty substantial drop from 78 to 62 for a high.
No question. Temperature, wind, it all adds up. It all makes a difference. When you're picking clubs and you're standing there and you go, okay, we've got 175 to the hole. Okay, but what's it playing? Well, we've got wind. It's 62 degrees or we're 58 degrees, whatever it is. I mean, those factors, and all of a sudden that 175 is playing 188, and it's just different. It's an educated guess, but it's a little bit of a guess as to what it's playing. So, it'll make for an interesting event. And you're right. I mean, only one out of about 150 guys could win this weekend is the way I got it figured.
So, what is the deal with Phil? He missed the cut at Bay Hill. Now he says he's going to go and play maybe nine holes practice and then decide whether or not. I mean, they've already released the pairings for the first two rounds, mm-hmm. and he's in the field. So I think they're assuming he's going to play, but that doesn't seem right if he decided he didn't want to play. There's some alternate that could maybe use the practice reps.
Well, no, that's true. And I think the alternates can still maybe get some practice looks. But nonetheless, that whole thing's I love Phil. I mean, I'm a Phil fan. He's great for the game, and he always has been. If he's in the pairings, then he's committed. He called the tour office, or he clicked the click that he has to do, whatever their process is to officially enter. He's done that if he's in the pairing, so they wouldn't put him in. But now what you're saying, and I hadn't heard this over the last 24, 48 hours, you're saying there's still some media buzz and some attention that he may WD and still not play.
Well, he said he'd play nine holes on Tuesday and then make his decision.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. So I mean, that is so Phil. Yeah, and that's a little weird. I mean, I guess that's okay. I mean, I don't blame him if he didn't play. I just think it's if he doesn't know by now. I mean, come on, he shouldn't. I mean, if he didn't know by yesterday.
Well, he's paired with Kuchar and McIlroy, so it's like he's even a part of like this featured group,
right?
So.
Right.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I tell you, the players, of course, it's run by the PGA Tour. It's not that they're not doing any sponsors pairings or anything cute with that. They just put the creme de la creme together, and it's really fun. And I don't know. I'd be disappointed if he doesn't play at this point. And just the way he's done it, I don't think it's right. I think he should. You should be able to commit by Sunday and of the week
sure.
prior and know you're going to play. He's been there, I think, and played a little bit. So anyway, who knows? But there's nothing like Phil. And we all know this relates to the condensed events. I mean, if these guys wouldn't wear out, they literally, mentally and physically, mm-hmm. they'd play every event leading up to Augusta. But you just can't. You can't go into a major that really takes it out of you, mentally, physically, every way. Media attention, all the ramp up into Augusta. You got to go in there with some rest. You can't be exhausted, and so this would be an opportunity for Phil to kind of pace himself. But I don't know.
This tournament is so crazy. I'm just and Mickelson has won the thing before. You go through the winners, and obviously you've got some huge names up there. But the last two have been Webb Simpson and Siwoo Kim, and then you got Jason Day and Fowler and Keimer. Nobody's dominated this thing. Jack Nicklaus won it three times, but that was before it was at Sawgrass every year.
Right.
So nobody else has won it more than twice. And then you look like Hal Sutton won it in 1983 and again in 2000. I mean, it's just the most bizarre tournament. And I don't know if it's because of the water. I don't know if it's because of the wind or what it is there. But it is, not that it's ever easy to pick who's going to win a tournament, but you can make some educated guesses at the major. This guy is going good, especially at the Masters. It's at the same course. But at this thing, it's like you said, it could be one of 150 guys, and all you have to do is just go back through, the past winners of this thing. I mean, Jody Mudd, Mark McCumber, and John Mahaffey. But then you've got, Tiger Woods has won it. Adam Scott, Mickelson, the big names. But like Tom Watson has the most top tens ever there, and he never won it. It's a bizarre tournament.
You know what, JD? It's the course that suits nobody.
Right.
It doesn't favor anybody's game because it's what I call a crooked course. And what I mean by that is you stand on a tee, and the shot off the tee doesn't really favor your eyes. You don't really see the fairway. That's very deceptive. I mean, it's what Pete Dye. the way he designed golf courses, and it's Seaside down at St. Simon's, down at Sea Island Golf Club, is the same way. It's trying to be deceptive to your eye. It makes you uncomfortable. You don't see the shots. You don't feel the shots, and it makes it hard to play. Never mind, there is all the undulating greens and water, and then throw in the winds of March and everything. And so, you know, it makes for a it makes for an unusual golf tournament. And I can't imagine that too many players would say that the stadium course is very high up on their list.
Well, how many guys, like McIlroy used to not play it.
Right.
I guess he has, sure, recently. But even a drifter like Jordan Spieth could win this week, maybe. So.
And by the way,
he's like 55 to 1 in the odds. I mean, think about that.
It'd be worth taking a flight. But you've got to, and speaking of Phil, I've always said this. You guys have heard me say this. How in the world? I mean, so now with the Open being at Pebble this year, I mean, if you're a left-hander, number 18 at TPC and number 18 at Pebble Beach, how in the world do you hit that tee shot?
Boy, you've got to pick a target and be committed to that target. I'll tell you that. You cannot let your eyes wander. I never like, you know what, JD, as a right-handed player, I never liked a big dog leg right with a lake out there to the right because, like you said, you're staring at it and it's just – it's your eyes just don't just it's really hard to play left and then you overplay it and then so 18 at Pebble for Phil, you know, that's a shot where you've got a tree in the edge of the in the right center of the fairway there. Now they hit past that tree, but you know, I've seen where Phil has taken iron off of 18 at Pebble lately, and so he's basically in the AT&T now, whatever they call that thing, right?
Well,
so,
Dan Jenkins said, he said that tee shot, the next stop is Japan. I mean, when you're playing Pebble Beach. So, I mean, it's
that's a fact.
And I know we've got to run here, and we'll talk about him later too. But Dan Jenkins, just a hero to all of us golf lovers. I'm going to go start reading Dead Solid Perfect again. And oh man, we didn't have time to get to him, but we'll talk to him again. But there's never been a funnier man or a better writer, and that includes William Bleepin' Shakespeare than Dan Jenkins. He's the best ever.
To say he was an icon is an understatement, for sure.
Well, Cuts, we appreciate your time as always, and we'll look forward to talking next Monday and recapping the players.
You got it. Have a great week, guys.
Thank you, buddy. You're the best.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.